could be, because I think Harris does call people and. Thomas Registry is kind of, that's not what I'm thinking of, but that's kind of like a response list, because the Thomas Registry, they got people that actually sign up to be listed in it, so you could say that's a response list. That's not what I'm thinking of, though. The IMTS show, people that go to the IMTS show, if you could buy the list, which you can, of all the attendees, that's a response list. Another response list would be subscribers to the American Machinist. They responded to subscribing to the magazine, and you could buy that list. Now, the problem with a response list is a response list has a lot of duplication in it, because going to the tool show, you know, we all go together. We're all from the same company, but there's only one of us here that makes a decision on who buys what. So you get a lot of duplication. But there are programs, in fact, we do that, to dedupe records, and you can run programming expressions and algorithms to eliminate all the duplicates. So you get just one phone number, one company listed once. Now, you can never get rid of all the dupes, but you get rid of a good number of them. It's been my experience that you have to telephone call every single record. No matter what record list you get, you got to call them. I call them up, because it's very hard, particularly in our business, to find the tool engineer or the key individual that buys tools. Now, I did this program for a company. We got a guy named John McMullen, who was working for Carbola. I don't know if he still is he? Okay. He was working for McMullen Tool, and I did a program for them a few years ago, and he was not the guy in charge of the company. It was another guy, and we were doing this program, and the guy says, after we, not right at this point, but as we got into this point, the guy said, I think this thing might work. Let's try it. So here we are, we got 30 guys in this meeting or whatever, and they got a phone, and they went out to the database, and they brought in three phone numbers, and they said, John, call them. I made five calls. I got them recorded, and I have a CD, or not a CD, but a cassette tape, an audio cassette tape here of those calls. I recorded them. Five calls, three of them, got them set up to buy stuff. Three out of five. So we had records. They weren't doing any business with the guys. We just called them and got something set up where these customers would buy stuff. And as we go through this, I'll show you, this system, it definitely works. So we're going to screen and qualify them. We have to do that, because we got to get the names, we got to get the phone numbers, the fax numbers, we get some email addresses, websites, that sort of thing. Very, very important, and distributors can help us do this. But we got to show them the way. We got to focus on the proper accounts. That's you guys. You can't be like this guy. He's got 13 states. He's going to stop in, once a year. You just can't be doing that. You need to have accounts. You're going to start developing relationships. Go in there, and we're going to be talking about the kinds of things that you can do which will help you to develop relationships. Become the preferred supplier. That's what we want to do, is be the preferred supplier. We want to utilize technology wherever we can to automate some of these sales activities. Here are some of the criteria for selecting accounts. You'll notice that the first selection criteria down here is to pick accounts where we've had a turning point. What is a turning point? What do I mean by a turning point?
They start a purchase
of sales. Oh, go ahead, Darren.
What? I've seen a drop off in sales.
No.
An increase.
Well, not exactly.
They may be opening up the doors a lot more with some of their problems and inviting in.
Yeah, once a turning point occurs, this is exactly correct. Let me tell you what a turning point was at that one account, Pacific Scientific. They got a new plant manager, and a guy played tennis. That was a turning point. I saw that tennis racket in the back of that guy's car, and I just knew that we were going to be in great shape. I just knew I could help the guy play tennis, learn tennis, have fun. And after a while, I was giving him and his wife lessons and having, dinner. We started having a couple of beers, then we had dinner and stuff like that. And I wasn't paying for everything. I paid the first one or two times. After that, he insisted on paying. He paid half, and I paid half, and it was a really good situation. And I started getting into the account running tests. And when you get a guy at the top helping you, it makes things a lot better. What's an example of a turning point that you've had, Mike? at an account.
I would say it was kind of a long story. It's hard to dumb down, but actually having a couple contacts finally decide to they want to go ahead and test, and then got going with it and had some great success.
Yeah. Well, great successes in some tests.
Everybody finding out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that could be certainly a turning point. There can be turning points that are totally social in nature. You could be out at the gym working out, and you say, hey, I know you from there. You know, it can be that the guy's smiling. Who knows? You just find out something. You just know. When a turning point occurs, you just know it. You know what I'm talking about, Fred. It just happens. Something happens at the account. If nothing happens at the account, it is hard to start getting into that account and spreading it out. Now, often, we can go into an account, and we can get everybody pissed off at us, and we're done. We're doomed. In that account, we already blew it in that account, so we can never recover from that. And people harbor ill will and bad feelings. And it's substantiated because they don't want to change. Fundamentally, nobody wants to change. So if you go to an account and you're too aggressive and hostile and all this kind of stuff, I want, I want, I want,